Welcome to the Mate Debaters Podcast. I'm Natasha and I'm joined with my husband Orlando, and we are a millennial couple sharing our opinions and views on a myriad of topics ranging from marriage, wellness, all the way to entertainment. So let's jump into a new debate. On today's episode, I want us to talk about cancel culture. So before I get into questions, you know I always have questions to kind of lead us in. How would you define cancel culture?
Cancel culture. Well, I think basically it's anything that's deemed, I don't even want to say inappropriate, but that people don't like. And if there's enough people that don't like it, it seems to get canceled. I'm split on cancel culture. While I do think there are some problematic things that don't need to exist anymore, I do think it's gone a bit too far where everything's being canceled, can't say certain things. And I'm not saying you should say offensive things, but some things that don't even seem offensive. It's like, oh, gotta cancel this person.
Yeah, it seems like there's no room for differing viewpoints or opinions. I do believe that there are certain people who have been canceled and it's been justifiable, but I think what it comes down to is there room for growth? Is it productive to just quote-unquote cancel someone? Is it better to call them out on something and give them the opportunity to make it right?
And I'm split on growth too, because if you're an adult and you've been doing something that, you know, because people cancel a lot of people from Twitter. Like, they'll pull up old tweets and say, oh, look what they said back in the day. But if you were like 40 saying those tweets and you're 50 now, then yeah, you probably should get canceled because you're an adult. But if you were like 16, 17 saying them and you're 30 now, then it's a huge difference, right? See, especially with brain development.
Yes, with brain development, but I disagree, because I feel like that's kind of giving me vibes of like, you can't teach old dog new tricks. I feel like you're never too old to learn something new. You're never too old to learn from your mistakes. You can be presented a different viewpoint at any point in time. It just takes a special somebody or a specific example to help change your mind on something and your viewpoint and your approach to things.
I disagree with that. I think certain things are ingrained in people at a certain point in life. Like, once you hit a certain age, there are certain things you do that you're always going to do.
I think it's harder to break out of certain beliefs.
Yeah,
but
so if
I still believe that you can change your viewpoint no matter what age you are.
If you have bigoted beliefs, I feel like you're always going to have them. You may just react differently. Like, instead of saying them out loud to someone, maybe you keep it to yourself. I just feel like when people get to a certain age, they're just kind of more dug in and they're set in their ways.
Yes, but I don't think that's everybody.
No, it's not everybody.
Some
but
people. So then,
I feel like it's the majority of people.
I think that's a bold statement.
And I don't know. For me, it's kind of like if you're dropping, you know, derogatory terms at 40, what am I to imagine has changed in 10 years with you? In 40 years of life that you're thinking this way, that in 10 years your whole perspective changed. You know, but not to deviate too far from cancel culture, I feel, me more than most, like, I feel like a lot of things are justified. Like, for example, canceling the Washington football team's old name, they're now the Commanders. That should have been canceled. Some people got up in arms like, oh, this is tradition in history. No, it's offensive.
Did people really cancel that?
Well, yeah.
Like, I mean, I know people called for change, but was it canceled? Like, oh, I'm not going to watch when that team plays. I'm not going to watch it.
I mean, people do stuff like that all the time. Like, I won't shop at this store because,
yeah, but I'm asking,
you know,
in the instance of that football team, were people saying,
well,
that?
People did that. People had protests. Like, there's a lot that went on for them to, a team's not just going to change its name because they're like, oh, we think this is offensive. There has to be a lot of stuff going on where they're like, yeah, we got to do this. You just think about other...
R. Kelly, that was a justifiable cancellation.
Was he canceled, though?
Yes, he was canceled.
No, he's a convicted sex offender. I don't think that's being canceled. That's just someone rightfully so.
Yes, when I say canceled, I mean they canceled his music. Like, there's a lot of people who won't listen to his music so that he doesn't get any streaming revenues.
But I feel like that's kind of with gross people. Like, I don't know, if you found out one of your favorite artists, you know, was a sex offender, I feel like that just kind of comes with the territory. It's not really being canceled. I just think, like, if you find out someone was doing something, you know, like R. Kelly was doing, are you still
going to... Oh, you think that's just a consequence?
Yeah, it's just a consequence of what happened.
Good segue. So I read something online that LeVar Burton... We all know LeVar
that's
Burton.
That's the Roots and Reading Rainbow.
I know him from Reading Rainbow. So he actually did an interview with The View. I don't remember what year it was, but he actually said he thinks that cancel culture is actually misnamed. So I'm going to read exactly what he said. He said, I think it's misnamed. I think we have consequence culture, and that consequences are finally encompassing everybody in society, whereas they haven't been ever in this country.
What does that mean?
Exactly what you said. Like, he's not referring to, like, a lot of what has been going on is cancel culture. It's more, he's saying it's consequence culture.
Well, there's a difference, though, right? I think you also have it's a fine line. You have people that, yes, there's a lot of consequence culture, which I have no problem with. Because, there are some problematic things that shouldn't exist. And for the people that are up in arms about it, too bad. You enjoyed it the time it existed. Now it's our time to enjoy it not existing. Confederate statues, get rid of all of them. I don't think that's cancel culture. I think it's consequence culture.
Or evolution, like, or where people are just more aware now and people aren't tolerating certain things.
Yeah, when people have more of a voice, more ability to change things. Whereas before,
and more of a platform, because yeah. I think with social media, you know, it's not just you talking amongst your friends. You can rally or get a bigger group of people to make a change.
Yeah, and let's be honest, like, you know, we've always been like a certain demographic dominated country, and that's really who's had to say so. I mean, even now they still do, but a lot of these companies they're realizing that things are affecting their bottom line. I just want to make it clear. No one's changing stuff out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because money's being affected. I'm not saying everyone, but businesses. They're not doing it because they're like, oh my gosh, we've hurt so many people. They're seeing that sales are going down or people are protesting. A lot of things are happening. They're like, yeah, we need to get rid of this right now.
I think that's fair to say, because I don't want to be naive to think like, oh my gosh, everyone has a change of heart. Everyone is woke now. Everyone's caring and considerate. But I do think that some companies... they will remove kind of the old regime, so then you have newer people that step in, and I do believe in those instances you see a lot more genuine intentional change happening.
Well, I believe those new people only do it because they're following the trends of what's going on.
I don't agree with that.
I don't believe many companies are usually going to be the trendsetters. They just see what other companies are doing and then
they
follow suit.
But somebody has to start it, so I feel like the person who started it, can you not?
Well, I feel like the person who started it is they are looking at trends and say, wow, we see more people are buying from this place because they have this. Like, I don't think the goal of a company, because they have shareholders, is to maximize profits. They're going to do whatever it takes to maximize profits. If they see that more people are liking the Washington old team name versus, you know, getting rid of it, they're going to stick with the Washington old team name. They're not going to make a change and say, you know what, we don't care if we lose money, we're going to go do this. It's all about the bottom line. So yes. When the winds change, they're going to change with the winds.
So then, with that in mind, do you feel like cancel culture is productive?
Well, if we separate it from consequence culture, then yes. No, I don't feel cancel culture is productive, because I feel like now... it's kind of gotten to... I feel like it's one of those chickens that have come home to roost. I feel like now you're getting people where they don't agree with your perspective, your opinion, your, you know, right to think differently. And they're like, no, this is how it should be canceled. But I also think that in the past, that's how it was for the other side. You know, there are other people that didn't have a voice. And people are like, no, we're keeping this because I said so. Or we're doing it this way.
Well, I feel
because
like they're ignoring you. They're not canceling you. Or maybe it's the same. I don't know.
I think it's the same thing, because if I say, maybe it's reverse cancellation, because if I say, man, this statue is really offensive, you know, especially being in the South, and if this was the 1960s, no one's going to care what I have to say, they're going to keep that statue up, you know,
That's so fair.
Now it's the other side of things where we're getting rid of the statue, and we don't care what you have to say, so you can look at it as not being productive, but for me, I see it's it's also progress in society. Like, again,
do people not deserve the opportunity to grow and change? I mean, I guess to your point earlier, you don't feel like once you hit a certain age that that's possible. Because, like, I'm going to give you another celebrity example, Chrissy Teigen, who got canceled over her online bullying. Do you feel like...
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. I told you I've always... So, with that, like, I think they pulled up some of her tweets and saw that...
It wasn't,
you know,
just her tweets. I think it was some of her DMs.
She was bullying. But she was bullying those people, like, just a year before. It wasn't something that was, like, 15 years ago. Like, it was just a year ago that she was doing that.
I don't know if it was a year,
but go on. It was in the recent time frame. So, for that, and I feel like the apologies she's giving, because she has a brand, right? And I feel like her brand's been damaged. I think that's what she cares about the most. And I think she's trying to get back that image that, you know, people have had of her, where people kind of think of her as a mean girl right now. You know, I've kind of always felt she was that way, but now it's just kind of, you know, the colors have come out. So we started with our initial question, but I feel like the better question is, what is, you know, how do you differentiate between cancel culture and what's not cancel culture? And what I mean by that is, we're just talking about consequence culture. If something is demeaning, derogatory, is that considered cancel culture? Like, I know there's a term LeVar Burton uses, consequence, but it still kind of falls under cancel culture. Like, when you think about football team names, like, people who have grown up with those team names, they think of it as canceling. So where do you draw the line of, this is cancel culture, or this is, no, this is wrong and it needs to go?
So I think it depends on the crime, if you will. So, for example, you know, extreme people, disgusting people like your R. Kelly, your Harvey Weinstein. For me, those are justifiably, and I feel like most people can agree, cancel culture applies there. But when it comes to, you know, more recent times, things that happened with Will Smith, you know, there was kind of a move to cancel Will Smith. Now, is that one that I feel like was justifiable to be part of cancel culture? Not necessarily, because I feel like that's a person who has shown a very different side to him than what he exhibited that night at the awards show, and he has since apologized. Whether you feel it's genuine or not is a different conversation, but I feel like that was a moment, a very unfortunate moment, but to me that does not compare to other larger offenses that, you know, could potentially or have impacted a multitude of people.
But I also think with, you know, especially with that Will Smith example, I think cancel culture can also be individualistic, because while I don't think the Will Smith thing should have, you know, ended his career or anything like that, it was a mistake. I don't want to say mistake, but it was an unfortunate event. But you may have some people who are immensely triggered by that. Like, maybe they've been slapped like that before in a public setting. Like, you just don't know. And I feel like that's the problem with cancel culture, is that everyone has their different opinion of what they think it is. And again, if you have enough people that have a certain view, then things get canceled. And it kind of feels like you're walking on eggshells. I think Kevin Hart may have had, he's kind of come close to that with certain things. I know when he had the birthday party with his son, and he was playing Cowboys and Indians, and people came out and said, that's really offensive, and he got really defensive about it and said, well, I played this when I was a kid. And it's like, yeah, but this is years later, and it was wrong then, but
we know better now.
Yeah, and we didn't have enough people to really make a voice against it, but we know better now. But I don't know. You know, we also, there are other people too that you can kind of be on the fence about. You know, we talked about Ellen DeGeneres.
So with Ellen, that was interesting, because I read somewhere where a person mentioned it wasn't, I mean, some people did come after her specifically, but others said it wasn't specifically her, but it happened under her watch. So they felt like she needed to be held accountable for allowing certain behaviors to transpire that created a toxic work environment. So I don't remember the full details of the story, so I may be misspeaking completely, but I feel like that's something too where that person has the opportunity to grow and learn from that.
But even with that, like, what are we, you know, why are we just focusing on, if we're going to do it, just do it, right? Like, why are we focusing on the one person? Why don't we go through all the work environments that, you know, so it's like...
Well, that's what people like to do. It's easier to target one person.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, we kind of pick and choose, like, oh, I have a huge problem with this. But there are other things that are super problematic that we, like, I guess I'll say it like this. It almost feels like a social media phenomenon. Like, you can kind of become internet famous for being part of who gets canceled kind of thing. You know, you'll get your 15 minutes of fame. Like, I don't think people are doing it for a genuine reason. Not everyone, of course.
But you sound like the politicians. The politicians, because cancel culture is not just in pop culture. It definitely leaks over into political conversations. And a lot of, not just conservatives, you have progressives as well. Who will call it more of like a mob culture.
Well, but that's the thing. They both participate in it because conservatives cancel things they don't like and progressives cancel things that they deem wrong as well.
So, do you feel like it's one and the same, mob culture or cancel culture?
Kind of, because, like I said, I don't think you can have cancel culture until you have that mob, like enough people that could kind of storm and say, okay, this is wrong, and kind of force a company to change its way. I mean, look at Beyonce, right? She took some lyrics off of her album because they were problematic. I don't think here in America, but in the UK and Europe. So I feel like there may have been other songs where Beyonce said that, or other songs where other artists have said that. So I was like, why are we focusing just on Beyonce? It's almost like, it's like, oh man, I have the opportunity to cancel Beyonce and you're getting your 15 minutes, you know?
You know, I just think it has to do with the time period that we're in, and people are more culturally aware, more culturally sensitive. So, you know, we talk about that when it comes to comedy. You know, stand-up comedy from 10, 15 years ago, what was okay then is not okay to
do. But see, that's
now.
The thing. The same people that will cancel Dave Chappelle right now, they'll go back and they'll watch Eddie Murphy Raw and they'll be laughing their heads off. So it's like, it just feels like they say, hey, I don't like this person, so I'm going to target them and go after them. Like,
yeah, that definitely happens.
You know, that's what it, you know, especially that type of cancel culture. Like I said, there's the other side where it's like, yeah, there are some really bad things that we do need to get rid of. I don't really deem it as cancel culture, even though it might still fall under that purview. But I think I look at it as like, hey, there are some problematic things. I guess how I look at it is like, if there's something in history or something that's going on that, you know, affects people, that's demeaning, that's, you know, disrespectful, I think those things are okay to quote-unquote cancel. But if there's something that, you know, you don't like that Ellen DeGeneres or her staff treated workers well, I don't feel like that's enough to say, yeah, we need her off the air. She's done. You know what I mean? So... And I'm not even a big fan of Ellen DeGeneres, but it's just like, that just seems a bit much.
Yeah, and with it being a bit much, I think that leaves a lot of room for interpretation, because everybody has their opinion and viewpoint on what is too much or how far is too far, or what, you know, how the scale should be measured. Overall, I feel like in some instances, yes, cancel culture has gone too far, but in many others, I feel like it's been justified.
Well, I feel like it's what you said earlier about with cancel culture. You were saying that, I can't remember it now. But anyway, you know, even saying that it's justified and gone too far, like, it just kind of feels like there's a really thin line between when it's gone too far.
I think it's a blurred line.
Blurred? I don't know if I'd say blurred, like, because I feel like some things that you know are wrong, like, I don't think that's blurred.
Well, that's your viewpoint. There's some things that you think are wrong that other people don't have an issue with.
Confederate statue, I think everyone knows that's wrong, right?
Because some people will argue that that's, you know, their ancestors and their family and all.
Yeah,
that
but they
stuff.
Were but they were traitors to the United States. Like, if you look at the history of
the people who support that aren't looking at it like that.
But that's fine, but it's not facts in history. I'm talking about things that, like, you know, Nazism is wrong. Yeah, there are people that support it and everything. Should we care about their views? No, it's wrong, so it should be canceled. You know, so there are certain things in life that I feel like you have the historical facts, you have enough data that you can be like, I don't care what your viewpoint is, that's fine for you to have your opinion, but this is wrong. Whereas other things, can be blurred, but I feel like there are some concrete things where it's like, no, like you can't go on the workplace, you know, because there used to be men in the workplace that used to be real flirty with women and stuff. You can't
sexual
do that anymore.
Harassment. That's absolutely sexual harassment. Not.
You can't do that anymore. There's no like blurred line with that. It's just like, no.
Which, yeah, I mean, I can definitely agree that there are things that are more black and white, but again, I feel like there are things that aren't.
No, but I'm saying that it's not like blurred with the entirety of cancel culture.
If you
want to split it in two and say like these are hard stance cancel items or these over here, these cancel items can be blurred.
Well, I guess I'm saying blurred because it's the fact that you can have both. It's the fact that some are black and white and like very clear to point out. Most people or majority of people collectively agree, but then there are other things where it's like, I don't know, I can go either way.
So yeah, I don't know if blurred would be the proper term for that. But I mean, this is a tricky conversation because everyone's going to have their different interpretation of cancel culture. You might have some people that say, oh yeah, we haven't canceled enough. And then other people are like, it's all too much. We're just doing too much. So, I mean, it's really just perspective, honestly.
I think for me, the issue that I have is, well, you know this, Orlando, but you out there listening may not, but I have a big issue. One of my triggers, I would say, are double standards. And I think where I get triggered is where that same energy isn't met for all people. So just a quick example, how, you know, people were quick to cancel Kanye and Chrisette Michelle for similar reasons in their associations. But then people quickly embraced Kanye again, and then Chrisette didn't get that same energy. That's where I get frustrated with cancel culture.
Well, but that's what I was saying earlier. Like with Beyonce, we just chose to target this one person. And sometimes cancel culture does feel like it's directed towards, you know, a certain demographic, certain race, certain, you know, culture. And it could be of any walk of fame. Like if someone's a Southern Baptist or something, like you may steer cancel culture more towards them. Like it doesn't feel equal. Like I feel like if we're going to, you can't just say, yeah, I canceled it with this one person, but this exists everywhere else with everyone else. But I don't care about that because
well,
I got rid of this
it.
One person.
People do it. That's,
no, I know they do, but that,
I'm in line with you on that, but people do it. Regardless.
Because like, you know, back to Ellen, she was in charge of things going on her. There's so many bosses that are doing that. Like, why aren't we going after them? Why aren't we? And famous people
about,
too.
I think it's about who's the easiest target and who's going to get the most press in a lot of situations. Not all.
So again, it's really just about really that 15 minutes of fame and just kind of, because we're not canceling things that aren't getting that notoriety, right? Like, are things getting canceled behind the scenes that we don't know about? Or?
I think so. Cause I mean, I may have a certain stance on a product or a company or what they stand for and decide, okay, I'm not going to give them my dollars anymore, but I don't necessarily go on Twitter and blast it and say, you know, hashtag whatever it is for the moment. I just choose to do it on my own.
Well, not in that sense, but are there like any movements behind the scenes where it's like, oh, we went
I feel like once you have a movement, it's not behind the scenes.
No, like we got this AAA baseball team. They had a problematic name. Like no one's going to care about that, you know, but you had a mass of people that got rid of it, but it wasn't publicized.
It may just not be mainstream to your point.
Yeah, I think, again, this is just one of those things that's just really, it's really tricky and I don't know. It's different for everyone, and I don't think that we can really. We have to be open, right? We have to be open to everyone's views. I know we all have our perspective, and we're like, hey, we're doing too much with the cancel culture, or we're not doing enough, but we really have to sit down and listen to people, and I think that's what we're missing right now, where people just aren't listening anymore. They're just like, you know, this is wrong, get rid of it. And like Natasha said, like not allowing people to learn from their mistakes. But I do think for me personally, I can't speak for Natasha, that if you hit a certain age.
I disagree with that.
I'm sorry.
It's
you know
never,
certain things.
It's never too late
okay,
to
so,
learn.
So you think someone like Donald Trump, who said many problematic things.
Okay,
like,
that's where we can end it. I'm not talking about
but
that
But I'm
man.
Just saying, like, can will he change
on
his tune?
On to the next.
I just think he's set in his ways, and like, there's nothing that's going to change. With
I'm
how
not
he
denying that there are some people who are set in their ways. Absolutely. But I don't think it's fair to put a hard, fast rule or limit and say, well, hey, once you hit a certain age, you can't.
You know
change.
What we need to do? We need to look up the psychology of humans and see, you know, when are things hard set in our minds, like things don't change. You know, you look, again, I'm bringing in our dog Mango into it. Like, there are certain things she knows and she learns. She has her routine. Like, for example, if I'm going down the stairs, if you go right, it goes to the front door. If you go left, it goes to the garage. So every time we go down the stairs, she immediately goes left because she thinks that's where we're going. So when I go right, she's like confused. That's like hard-coded in her mind right now, and it's going to be very hard to change that out of her. So I feel like humans are kind of like that, where we just kind of have certain things that are just setting us from upbringing and different things.
But if we all of a sudden switch it up and start going right, you know, however long it takes to create a new habit, she'll pick it up.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't feel like people stick to it long enough to create that new habit.
Some people do. Some people don't. So with that in mind, just curious to know how you all feel. Do you feel cancel culture is productive? Do you feel like it's gone too far? Do you think you could come back from it? Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. My name is Natasha.
I'm Orlando.
And we are
the Mate Debaters.